Welcome to Truth Matters Church at truthmatterschurch.org. Today, Pastor Alex Catarroja continues our expository study of 1 John by diving into chapter 2, verse 8, examining John's statement that the true light is already shining. We'll see how this verse ties to the teachings of Paul and even all the way back to Genesis chapter 1. We encourage you to follow along in your Bible. Here is Pastor Alex.
You know, we talked in our last study about, you know, John was addressing or writing about an old commandment, and then he was also talking about a new commandment. Because after our study, we had some conversations, and I think there were still some questions in your mind, and there could be questions in our mind. So it's like, okay, well, what does this all mean in terms of old commandment, new commandment? Are we under the old commandment? Are we under the new commandment? Or is it null, you know, kind of just things like that. So I think it would be good just to try to hopefully make it clear when John was referring to the old commandment, again, just kind of look at it as the Old Testament, right? Or more specifically, the Torah, right? The first five books of the Bible. And the old commandment can be summed up in two commandments, right? Our Lord Jesus summed that up for us. And that is the old commandment is love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And then the second one is to love your neighbor as yourself. So that summarized the old commandment. And that old commandment was given to the people of Israel. So, although the commandment is good and perfect and holy, and it does reveal sin, it was given to the people of Israel under, you know, the old covenant. And when John is writing or talking about a new commandment, he's talking about an addition to. So this is, okay, we have the Torah, but now at the time of Christ and what he implemented in his blood, right, this new covenant, that there is a new commandment. And that new commandment is to love believers, right? Jesus says, by this the world will know that you are my disciples, that you love one another. So if you want to just kind of be technical and just say, okay, well, so what are God's commands from Old Testament to New Testament summarized? You can summarize it in three commandments. Love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. And love believers, right? Believers are to love believers. So that is really where I was trying to get at. And then I got into a little nuance because there are some promises in the Old Covenant concerning Israel. And then there were some mysteries revealed in under the new covenant with the inauguration of the church at Pentecost. And they're kind of like parallel to each other. I mean, it's all part of God's redemptive will and plan, but the promises in the old covenant, it is applicable to believers today. So for example, like the Abrahamic covenant between God and Abraham, we as New Testament believers and Christians, we are part of the Abrahamic promise or covenant. However, there are also some specific promises concerning the covenant that God entered with his people, Israel, and that will also determine how the end of time will unfold. It will focus, on the people. It will focus with the people of Israel in the land of Israel. Everything, that's where, if you want to know how is this whole world, how is the world going to end? It's going to center in the land of Israel, because that's going to pave the way for Jesus to come and to rescue his people and to write the new covenant in their minds and in their hearts and to usher them in to the kingdom. So I just wanted to talk a little bit about that. I also wanted to clarify, in my last study, I said, to love believers with all your mind, heart, soul, and strength. You know, when I said that and I kind of looked back, I was like, well, I don't want you to get the sense that I was saying, like, because we love God, like worship with all our mind, heart, soul, and strength. We're not to, in that tone, to love believers the same way. We don't worship each other, right? And we don't even worship angels. As we know in Scripture, whenever those occurrences happen, and we see that with the Apostle John in his vision in Revelation, when he would bow down and worship angels, and the angel, would say, rise up. I mean, don't worship me, worship God, because, he too is a servant of God. So When I say to love believers as Jesus loved us, as long as you didn't take that as, you know, like this, we only worship God. Okay. I just want to make sure that that's also, I don't want to make sure that that somehow got lost in translation that, okay, we're to love believers with all our mind, heart, soul, and strength, that that somehow competes with the worship of God. We don't worship each other. We only worship God. Amen. We're going to be picking up in verse 8, but we'll go ahead and read the passage in context just so that we again have it in our minds. It's been a while. And then we will pick up in verse 8. So John writes, again, 1 John 2, beginning in verse 7. Beloved, I am not writing a new commandment to you, but an old commandment which you have heard from the beginning. Again, that's the Torah. The old commandment is the word which you have heard, again, in the reading of the Torah. On the other hand, I am writing a new commandment to you, again, as uttered by our Lord Jesus, which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. The one who says he is in the light and yet hates his brother is in the darkness until now. The one who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But the one who hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. We're going to look at a couple of phrases in verse 8. You know, John makes mention that darkness is passing away. And we're going to kind of look at that. And then John also mentions in verse 8, he says that the true light is already shining. So we're going to unpack this a bit. So when John says the darkness is passing away, is passing away is in the present tense. So he's saying the darkness, as he was penning this epistle, when he's talking about darkness, he's saying darkness is passing away. And a good way to look at it, obviously, since the fall, when sin entered into the human race, every day since the fall is an evil day. Is a day of darkness, as a way you can put it. And we are living in what the Bible calls the last days, and that is the last days. When you look at Scripture, when you read the Bible, and it talks about the last days, and you see that phrase, last days is really from the time of Jesus's first coming and his second coming. So those are the last days. So his first coming, second coming. So the last days is everything in between his coming. So from our vantage point, and this is where it's encouraging for us, look around the world. Does it look like darkness is passing away? No, especially in our nation, right? It looks like, no, darkness is not passing away. Darkness is winning. Darkness is overcoming. Darkness is dominating. In the light, or you can even say, you know, that which is good, you can say even those who hold a conservative view, for example, are passing away. It's different from our vantage point. But again, that's why we need to look at life through the lens of Scripture, so that where we can get, we can look at the world as God sees it. So from God's vantage point, so from us, it looks like darkness is increasing. But from Scripture, from God's vantage point, he's saying, John said, no, darkness is presently passing away. So John wrote this, you know, approximately 2,000 years ago. And so for the last two millennia, it's still passing away. But again, it's hard for us to see it because it doesn't seem that way. But one thing we could be encouraged with is Scripture tells us that not only is darkness passing away and will pass away, but Scripture also tells us that death will be swallowed up in Christ's victory. And we're familiar with this passage in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 54. Paul writes there, but when this perishable, speaking about our body, will have put on the imperishable, and this mortal will have put on immortality, then will come about the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So the encouragement we can get from Scripture is, although it seems that darkness is not passing away. The truth is, darkness is passing away. And although it seems like we are deteriorating and we're all destined to die, but yet, even that death in and of itself will be swallowed up in Christ's victory when we are redeemed. And when God redeems our body and resurrects our body and glorifies our body, then the perishable will have put on imperishable, and this mortal will have put on immortality. So we will know at that point in time, although we are deteriorating and dying, that when we put on immortality, then we're going to utter those words as well. Oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? So in context here, when John is writing this epistle and he says that the darkness is passing away, so something, a truth for us, do you know that darkness is presently passing away in your life? You're like, well, how is that? Because I still have sinful thoughts. I'm still imperfect. I'm still not where I need to be, you know, as a Christian. But yet the work of God in your life, in my life, it is working and progressing, that darkness even in us is passing away. And that becomes more and more evident as we, you know, exercise, you know, our discipline, our love and devotion to God and His Word. And when we obey His Word and put on Scripture, then we will see that this is truly happening in our lives when we are being sanctified, right? When we're being conformed to the image of Christ. Even at, you know, at that point, we will see the work of God in our life, and we'll see that darkness is passing away in us. But again, that's not to say that we're perfect and we're not going to sin, but yet the work of God in our lives, in the life of a believer, in context, John is saying, is that the darkness is already passing away. And something to also think about as well is, you know, when John talks about darkness, he contrasts it with light. He does that quite a bit, especially in this epistle. So we'll talk about that a little bit, because that's what he talks about. He says, okay, the darkness is passing away. And we talked again a little bit about what that means. And now he's saying the true light is already shining. So as we've covered in our studies in the past, when you see in Scripture, especially in John's epistles, when it says Jesus is light, you know, what does that mean scripturally? When we say, okay, Jesus is light, what is that? Because if Jesus is the true light, what is that all about? Well, as we've covered, when it says Jesus is light, a good way to equate it is Jesus is righteousness. There is no unrighteousness in Jesus Christ. So when we say that the true light is already shining, it's saying that the true light, and that light, of course, is speaking of the person of Christ, is already shining in our hearts, right? When it's confirmed through His Word, the light of Christ, the righteousness of Christ, the life of Christ becomes real in our life. You know, when we say that the true light is already shining and that's speaking of Christ, we know that, you know, anything that is righteousness, anything that is light or good or life, love, that all is concerning the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus is righteousness. Jesus is light. Jesus is good. You know, there's no evil in Him. Jesus is life. He is the source of life. He is eternal life. And then, of course, Jesus is love. God is love. God is agape. Jesus is love. Jesus is agape. Jesus isn't unrighteousness. So anything that's unrighteous, evil, sin, is not Jesus. You know, so that would include darkness, evil, sin, and death. There is no death in Jesus. He is life. Life, death is the enemy of life, and death is not part of God, and nor any of His character. And I want to talk a little bit about the creation account, because we might have glossed over it, but if you take, you know, what John wrote here in this epistle, and then when you take what Paul wrote, and then you look back at the creation account, chances are we've probably overlooked what truth was being communicated in the creation account, and Jesus is all over it. That's just kind of a clue there. But let's read it. So again, Paul gives us color when we're talking about contrasting darkness versus light, because that's exactly what John did in this epistle. So Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 4, beginning in verse 5, "For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord, and ourselves as your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For God who said," and here it is, he's quoting God, this is the creation account, "light shall shine out of darkness." Did the scripture say that? The scripture actually didn't say that. The scripture said, God said, "let there be light." So Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he looked beyond, you know, at least what was penned in scripture, to what really that scripture was pointing to, what God was really saying: light shall shine out of darkness. So when God created light, you know what's interesting? Again, if we go back again, so stay with me here. John the Apostle contrasts darkness versus light, that the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. And then Paul quotes Genesis 1 verse 3, but he actually says something different. But then again, where we're going to get at is, again, it's going to be speaking about the person of Christ. So we're all familiar with the creation account. And let me read Genesis 1:1. "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and void." Here it is. "And darkness." So they'll catch this. So in the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was formless and void, there's darkness over the surface of the deep. And it says, "and the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters." And there it is. "Then God said, let there be light." And then, so the question is, well, first of all, wait a minute. What light is he talking about? Because again, light wasn't created yet. So the light that we know on earth, right? We have the sun that gives us light during the day. And then we have the moon that's reflecting this, or, you know, that's getting the illumination from the sun that gives us some light in the darkness. And we have obviously the stars in the sky. When God said, "let there be light," he's not talking about that light, the light that we see, right? We turn on a light bulb, right? Or we go outside and it's daytime, and we go outside and it's nighttime and there's some light. When God said, "let there be light," he wasn't talking about created light, if that makes sense. But where he was getting at was, and Paul gave us the answer when he said, "let light shine out of darkness. Let the glory of Christ be revealed to mankind." So even in the creation account, we are being introduced to Jesus without saying his name. We didn't know who Jesus was. We didn't know what he was going to be about and who, you know, and what his characteristics are. But we know that when God said, "let there be light," a good way to look at it, he's prophesying too and saying, "let the glory of Christ be revealed." And he said that from the very beginning. And we know that through human history, that through God's progressive revelation, then we started to get a glimpse of what God was doing. So God's plan all along was to reveal the glory of Christ in, you know, the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. When John says the true light is already shining, and again, we went to Paul's passage in 2 Corinthians and we went back to the creation account. When John says that the true light is already shining, he is proclaiming that the Son of God has been revealed in the face of Jesus Christ. You're like, that's the true light's already shining, and that's what he's proclaiming. And he's saying that that light has been manifest in our own heart. So for believers, right, we're like, okay, the true light is already shining. And we know that light, again, is righteousness, is life, is anything that is good. It's God. And we know that we see that in the face of Jesus Christ. So the true light, that revelation, that unveiling in our hearts is already shining in our hearts that God has declared even from the beginning of time. It's pretty deep. And furthermore, John is saying believers are presently being sanctified. You know, darkness is passing away, and that this is evident by how we live. Again, the true light is already shining in our lives, because what happens is, the question comes up, how do I know I'm saved, right? Because obviously it's hard, especially when we're not living how we ought to live. You know, the question comes up, how do I know if I am saved? Well, first of all, if the light, the true light, has shown in your heart that Jesus is God, is the Savior of the world, then in that saving knowledge and faith gave you a new birth, there is no way you will not go towards Him and to Him in times, especially in times of failure. So yeah, sure, we can have bouts with sin and we can be our worst enemy. But if the true light of Christ is shown in our hearts, one evidence that we are saved is we know we have nowhere else to go. You know, as Peter said, you know, when Jesus had his hard teaching and people, you know, talking about eat my flesh and drink my blood, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you know, you will have no part of me. Basically, you won't have eternal life. And people started to leave and they're saying, this is hard teaching. And what did the disciples were there? And they said, and he asked his disciples, will you go too? And what did they say? Where shall we go? For you alone have the words of eternal life. So one evidence of us being saved and that God has started to work in our lives is even when we are not living an obedient life, we know that there is nowhere else to go. So that will lead us to repentance. And that's a work by the Spirit of God in our lives. And again, that's all made manifest here. So just one little tidbit there that we can take away. So let me go ahead and kind of wrap this up. I like to do this, as you can see. I like to say, okay, now that we've kind of broke that down, let's amplify verse 8. And what did John say here? This is what he says. So he says, on the other hand, I am writing a fresh new superior commandment, and this is the new covenant to you, which is true in him and written in your heart, because the darkness is passing away. Jesus has come in the flesh, and you are presently being sanctified in faith, and the true light is already shining, which is evident by the proclamation of the gospel and you living in light of the gospel. That's essentially what John is getting at in verse 8.
Thank you so much for listening to the Truth Matters Church podcast today. We invite you to check out our website for even more biblical teaching, truthmatterschurch.org. Truth Matters Church is dedicated to the careful teaching of God's Word. If the Lord has placed it on your heart to support this ministry, you can do so at truthmatterschurch.org/give. A gift of any amount is sincerely appreciated. Please join us again next time as we contend for the faith, one verse at a time, here at Truth Matters Church.